You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. America needs some healing. The long, bitter campaign has left deep divisions. And with the success of Donald Trump's unorthodox approach, we're wondering, will it be used as a new strategic model for winning future elections? What role do political strategists have going forward? Do they try to get a win for their clients at all costs? Or do they have a responsibility to keep the greater stability of our society in mind? Let's get the view now from both sides of the political spectrum. Here with us is Democratic strategist T.J. Buchholz of Vanguard Public Affairs. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on the program.
And Republican strategist Matt Marsden with Rev6 Data Systems. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
As political strategist, I'm wondering, how do you sum up what just happened this week? What was the message the voters delivered on Tuesday, Matt?
I think the main point was is that there was some apathy, especially in the Wayne County area. I mean, we saw a substantially lower turnout in the city of Detroit, somewhere around 80,000 to 90,000 less voters than participated in 2012. And we saw a significantly higher amount of participation in Macomb County, both through absentee ballots and through at the voting box. So I think that for all the to-do about the surprise and whatnot, when you look at the numbers of what happened, I really think it's a function of, voter not participating in many cases.
Why? What were they saying by not participating?
I think that they were dissatisfied with their choices on both sides, regardless of party affiliation. I think there were a lot of voters, independent voters, that said, you know what, I don't like either of them. I can't bring myself to do it. And yet at the same time, and those voters that did decide to go seemed to tend to vote further down the ticket than normal. And I think that's because they said, look, if I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to cast a vote for somebody I'm not necessarily satisfied with, I might as well go all the way down and pick the names of the people that I do know, which is why you saw some of the congressional folks get elected, that maybe the dissatisfaction with Congress is still there, but here they got elected anyway.
TJ, what's your take?
So I think that, you know, when we look at, and I agree with Matt completely, but I also think that the polarization of the two choices, I think, did keep people at home. I think, there were some sort of bellwether moments, if you were following Michigan politics, that made me think that there might be some trouble on the horizon for Hillary Clinton. And obviously the first one was her loss in the primary to Bernie Sanders. I think what that said was that millennials especially, but Democrats in general, were looking for a change. We're looking for something different, and the Democrats decided to stick with their traditional candidate, and I think that it made people stay at home. You know, when we look at a lot of the data that came out of sort of the exit polls, one of the things that was critical in Rust Belt states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania was the question of who do you trust to manage the U.S. economy? And Trump beat Hillary Clinton, you know, out of the margin of error in those exits every time. So I think that there was some desire on the part of independents here in Michigan, certainly Republicans, that they felt like that Donald Trump would do a better job with the economy. And I think that cost her here in the Rust Belt.
So how does this mindset that we're talking about, that voters certainly expressed on Tuesday, how's that going to impact the advice you give your clients going forward, Matt?
I think the first advice I'd say is let's all just take a break. Let's just wrap our heads around what's happened here. I mean, I think people are feeling emotional. People are, you know, some are still in shock. Some folks, even in my own household, are very upset about the outcome. But the reality is that this country has presidential changes every 4 or 8 years. And we, as both President Obama and Secretary Clinton said, we have to give him a chance to do his job and see what kind of leader he's going to be. I just want to go back and touch on one thing that TJ said that I completely agree with, and that was the millennial voters and the fact that from a long-term strategic standpoint, to have nothing down the ticket on the ballot to drive those millennial voters that came out so strongly for Bernie, that was going to be very damaging to the Clinton campaign. And they didn't have anything like a legalization bill or any of the other ballot proposals that we saw successful in some other states, especially on the legalization of marijuana, that would have driven that 35 age demographic quite possibly to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead. I don't like either of them, but I do have a reason to go out and vote.
Interesting. When I think about the Democratic side of things, TJ, it was pretty scorched earth. And we certainly saw that until finally we saw Bernie Sanders standing next to Hillary Clinton and saying, yes, I endorse her. But that was scorched earth. What has to change in the messaging the party has going forward to be more attractive and relevant to voters?
So the first thing I'd say is that you know, one of the things that makes America magical, in my estimation, is the notion of transition of power. And that's what we've been reminding our clients today, many of whom are dejected. Obviously, the Democrats took a drubbing in this election. And so we remind them that, you know, that there have been presidents that we have not agreed with in the past. I mean, I remember back to 2000 where people thought George W. Bush was going to be the end of days. Likewise, Republicans felt that Barack Obama was going to do some things that they were not particularly appreciative of. What's good about this country and what we have to remind ourselves is that there's more about us that is similar than is dissimilar. And for me, that's important, you know, and you know, I've been, you know, out, you know, in the interviews that we've done post-election saying, you know, that we congratulate the other side. You know, Matt and I are on different sides of the political spectrum, but at the end of the day, you know, we're political professionals and we recognize that this is the price you pay for winning. And I can tell you, being on the winning and losing side of an election, when you win, you feel awesome, and when you lose, you feel absolutely terrible. But I think to answer your question, I think that Democrats have to think about who their future voter is. Obviously, millennials have sent a signal in this election that they want to be part of the democratic process. I have people on my own staff, millennials, who disagreed with Hillary Clinton and a lot of her policy. So I think that we have to listen to our younger voters because they represent the future of our party. And, you know, and I was on the record saying if Hillary Clinton had been elected, had she not pivoted left towards some of those millennial issues that were very important, she would have had a very difficult time seeking re-election.
Matt, the Trump campaign, shall we say unorthodox and just leave it at that? I mean, it really is. There's been no Republican or Democratic campaign like his. He owes nothing to either party.
No, he doesn't.
What have you learned from his rather unorthodox campaign? Anything you might try in your next campaign?
Well, I think what we talked a little bit about this the other evening is one of the things that he did was just sort of turn on its head the traditional campaign model. We didn't see the type of mail use. We didn't see the type of door-to-door. We didn't see the type of robocalls. We didn't see all these things that traditionally make up a campaign. And he had no real infrastructure. I mean, when we were working with the Bush-Cheney campaign, I mean, I remember there were vast numbers of offices with fully staffed and advanced staff everywhere throughout the state. And from that perspective, it was so different. And then we saw the emergence of this use of social media. And no, I mean, there was no press releases. It was tweets.
The 3 a.m. tweets.
It was tweets, 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 right? And that's how he got his message out. And his phenomenal use of earned media. I mean, that was critical, both to a bottom-line savings for his campaign, but also unique in it's never been done before in a presidential campaign. One thing I'll say is if you take yourself out of the, you know, personal feelings about this and look at it, he was a long shot. And every once in a while in political campaigns, and I know TJ would probably agree, those long shots pull off a win every once in a while. It's kind of what makes this exciting. And you may not like the outcome of who it was, but at the end of the day, politics and campaigns are games, a big, long game. And sometimes there's upsets and sometimes long shots win. And he just happened to win the World Series of them all. But he did it his own way. And you're right. He's beholden to nobody. And I think in that, we're going to see a lot of reinvention. I'm sure there's a lot of folks in the establishment in Washington, D.C. right now that are a little uneasy about what their position's going to be once he starts to get his transition team in place and the inauguration plans begin. But I'll be honest. I don't think he expected to win. I truly don't think he expected to win. I think he fought hard to the very end, and I think he had a lot of hope that he was going to win. But at the end of the day, I think he was kind of shaking his head and a little bit surprised and as shocked as I'm sure the Clinton's campaign was. I mean, there were stories last night on Nightline about them celebrating, thinking that it was all locked up for them. And really, when you have that situation, it is one of the unique moments in American politics.
I think of strategists like both of you from, you know, all across the political spectrum, watching, looking, taking lessons away, digesting what happened. And you strategists, you play such an important role in how our politicians speak to voters and frame the issues. So after all the bitterness we've seen from this election, do you, as strategists, feel like you have an ethical responsibility to kind of keep the greater stability of our society and our democracy in mind? Or is it just all about helping your client win, TJ?
Well, a lot of people ask me that, and I think sometimes political consultants are gauged on win and loss record. We don't like to play that game, at least at my company. You know, what we are and what we do is we help our client try and present a case and present themselves in the best possible light to voters as possible. You know, you hear a lot, and people get hopped up about House of Cards or West Wing or whatnot. It is not a dirty trick game because I think the electorate is smart. And they understand and that. Now, can you pull that lever when you need to? Sure. But at the end of the day, you know, we're focused on, you know, making sure that people understand what our client is about, what they're trying to accomplish, and what their vision is for the future. And one of the things that bothered me a little bit about the Trump campaign and the Clinton campaign to some extent was they didn't really articulate vision. What both campaigns seemed like they were about was that they were about the other side losing and us winning. I think that voters are becoming smarter, and I keep coming back to millennials, and I would tell you that as I work with them every day, and they're in my face about issues, and I would tell you that, you know, they are smarter than we're giving them credit for, and I think that this particular cycle was the first sort of foray for them into the electoral process, and we have got to, as a society, talk about civility, talk about, you know, at the end of the day, you know, some of my best friends are Republican strategists. I mean, I would not have a hesitancy of calling Matt Marsden as an example and saying, hey, what do you think about this issue? If we're not in conflict, you know, why we help each other. It's kind of a little bit of a kind of a closet industry to some extent where you help each other when you can and you talk through issues together.
Yep.
For me, that's the real power of this. And at the end of the day, for my fellow Democrats who are really struggling right now, you know, you have to take some solace in with how the Constitution works, the fact that our founding fathers put in checks and balances. They put in things to make sure that one party didn't get stronger than the other. And certainly right now, Republicans, you know, certainly can run the table for the next couple of years. But Matt would be the first to tell you that that is only temporary.
No, for sure it's only temporary. And sometimes when you grow that big that fast and it can come back to bite you down the road. And TJ's absolutely right. And I think that to his point on the millennials and their first participation, I think you're seeing some of the protests last night, some of the protests in LA, some of the protests that are going on in New York, of people that are frustrated and angry, and it's that group of people. But you kind of have to say, as a political consultant strategist, you know, I understand your frustration, but at the same time, you left 90,000 votes on the table in Detroit. At the same time, you know, you left, you didn't push your voters that you knew you needed to have out to vote, or you didn't give them what you want, what they needed to have. And I really don't know that it's a fault of all the Democrats that ran, in my opinion. I think that, you know, Hillary was a difficult candidate, and I think that she was, you know, hard to relate to. And to your point on what people are talking about, it's hard to say, there's a certain demographic of voters that really liked that blunt talk from Donald Trump. And not just males, not just white, no college degree males, but, you know, let's look at the number of white women that turned out to vote for him. Let's look at the number of African-American men that turned out to vote for Donald Trump. And it was because, and I had a lady tell me the other day in a conversation, it's because he just talks straight. And nobody's done that for a while. So in terms of what would I advise clients to do or not do, we have to see how he handles and comports himself after this campaign. Let's remember it was a campaign, and he had a strategy to be, let's win. And I think that's why we saw the butting of the heads, because that win-lose that TJ referenced, that was his driving force.
And there was a different tone as he spoke the night he won. Did we all hear that?
Well, and I think that tone is going to be problematic moving forward. Donald Trump, for better or for worse, has disenfranchised so many people that he has to work harder than you would normally have to try and bring some of those people back into the fold. I can tell you that there are many women, both Republican and Democrats, that are still offended by the misogyny that came out of this campaign, and he is going to have to address that. Women represent 53% mm-hmm. of the electorate in this country, and I think that we are about an exit away from women saying enough and let's take control. The other thing I'd say is this, you know, when you look at, and again, I'm going to say this to say something else. 50%, it looks as though Hillary Clinton at the national level will win the popular vote. Mm-hmm. Now, that's important in that, you know, you say that more than half of the voting population agreed with what she had to say, regardless of how polarized she was. But as political consultants, we know that that is similar to a football team bragging about how many rushing yards it had in a game. What bottom line comes down to is winning and losing. And for the next couple of years, Republicans are going to be able to run the table legislatively. The question is, how do they reach out and try and get back some of the people that their leader, Donald Trump, has disenfranchised over the course of the last 2 years?
And I know even amongst my circle of family and friends, there are conservatives who have stepped away from the GOP because of Donald Trump. And they're not sure they're coming back. Are you worried, Matt, that they aren't going to come back?
I think that there's a lot of folks that aren't going to come back. And in part, I hope that the Republicans do some self-examination. I hope that they do take this opportunity to make some better choices, to maybe look at some different policy agendas. I think we've seen what can happen, and TJ will agree, here in Michigan alone with a Republican-controlled government. You know, they made some choices and they make some policy decisions without taking into consideration some of these other concerns and ideas that are coming from the Democratic side. And in order for this state and this country to move forward in a proper way, we have to remember that the best days of government were the days before term limits, when those two sides of the aisle played cards with each other in the evening, and they had dialogue, and they worked together, and there was camaraderie amongst them. There isn't that right now, and I think that part of that is because it is so heavily Republican. And to TJ's point, there are an exit away from having some problems with that, if not already. And how the Congress works with Donald Trump and how that works out and how the judicial appointments go are going to deeply impact Republican politics going forward. Every decision he makes now will be tied to a Republican for the next 4 years. And that can be dangerous if you're a Republican candidate running in 2018.
I would also say this. In a friendship, in any friendship you've had in your life, there are times of happiness and there are times of stress. You know, and there are some things in a friendship, in relationships between humans, that you cannot walk back. That regardless of what you say and regardless of how much you apologize, that cannot be walked back, and that friendship is damaged. There were some things that were laced with such vitriol in this campaign that turned Democrats off so badly and turned the general citizenry off of the population from the person who is our president-elect. He is going to have to really work hard if he expects to hold that seat 4 years from now. And I can tell you for sure that Democrats across this country are going to watch every single word he says and every single move he makes, because if they're moves that disenfranchise people, they're going to try and capitalize that in just a few years.
TJ Buchholz, Democratic strategist and GOP strategist, Matt Marsden, thanks to both of you for a great conversation.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.